Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 53 degrees with areas of heavy fog this morning. It's Friday, September 21st, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The two people running for Sitka School Board fielded questions on Wednesday night in the third and final of KCAW's on-air candidate forums. Cass Pook is a 10-year incumbent on the board and seeking re-election. Jennifer Robinson is running as a write-in candidate. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on what they covered Wednesday night.
A good portion of Wednesday night's school board forum centered on technology. The district has prioritized adding tech to classrooms, but also has taken some criticism from the public on whether technology is the best place to spend money. One listener had a question about Promethean boards. Those are big digital interactive displays the district purchased for its 100 or so classroom teachers. They run about $3,500 a piece, and the listener worried that they'd just become glorified dry erase boards. He asked if the district's tech money could have been better spent on other things.
At the time, no.
Cass Pook.
That's what we had money for. We did consider laptops one-to-one, but the cost was even greater than the Promethean boards.
Pook said there's a good reason the district has placed a premium on technology in the classroom.
This is not just the way that the Sitka School District is going. This is the way the state of Alaska is going. This is going to go before the legislature and the governor on how we're going to prepare our kids with technology. It's not my world.
Robinson agreed with that and said there are ways to make sure the Promethean boards stay relevant.
It is vital that as we roll out this new technology in our classrooms, that we're providing our teachers with the training that they need to use it effectively so that the investment is not a waste.
When the district was preparing its budget last spring, it faced questions in public hearings about whether technology spending was worthwhile in general. People wanted to know if the money being spent on tech could be better spent elsewhere. Robinson says she understands those concerns.
There is a balance, and there are many areas of a well-rounded education that should not or cannot be replaced by technology, and I think teachers is probably it is absolutely the highest.
The candidates also talked about student achievement. Test results and other data has shown in Sitka and statewide that there are gaps in how different groups of students achieve. That is often true of Alaska Native students and students from low-income households. Pook says that issue needs to be addressed head-on.
And I think the time is now to have those conversations until we hear from students that are failing in school and parents and why they can't help their kids at home. That's where we're going to get the answers to how can we create safety nets to support your child to help them to achieve and not wait until the 11th hour before we're saying, oh my gosh, your kid's failing, and it's a month away from graduation.
Pook said the community needs to have what she calls courageous conversations about difficult issues. Robinson says one of those conversations will have to be about parent involvement in education.
I know how difficult it can be. I'm a single mother, and I work, and it can be challenging sometimes to be able to be all that you need to be for your kids, but it has to be a priority no matter how hard it is.
She says there are lots of ways to deal with students who struggle to achieve, and that one of them is by addressing their needs as soon as possible.
Statistics have shown that when a child is behind academically, if it's not remediated in the first 3 years of their education, chances are that gap will never be fully bridged. And so that's just, I guess, another reason that, especially in the demographics that are at risk, that they need to be have some sort of an introduction to, you know, pre-K education.
Both candidates also answered questions about math education, student activities, and state funding. You can hear those answers by listening to the complete forum on our website, kcaw.org. Pook's name will appear on the ballot. Robinson is a write-in candidate. Voters wishing to cast a ballot for her will need to fill in the oval and write her name on the line. The municipal election is October 2nd. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can also hear the assembly and mayoral forums online in their entirety. We've also done profiles of each candidate. It's all online at kcaw.org. A photographer who has chronicled the Israel-Palestine conflict since 2003 arrives in Sitka this weekend. Skip Scheel will be speaking and showing his photography to the public on Sunday and working with high school students next week. Sheil has made frequent trips to the Mideast since 2003. He's made about 7 trips in the last 9 years.
The motivation for this comes from my background in Catholicism, where I always, as a youth, wanted to go to the Holy Land and walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and then growing frustration with the situation there and a wish to do something about it using my craft.
Sheil bills himself as a participatory photographer. That often means breaking the rules most photojournalists adhere to.
The principle is be in the scene. Along with that, I would suggest vulnerability, and people respond to this pretty well. Another aspect of conventional photojournalism often is to use a long lens to kind of hide behind the camera, to not be vulnerable, to resist somebody saying, don't take my pic, don't delete that photograph, or to question somebody who says, I don't want to be photographed, and say, well, why not? You know, it's going to be to your advantage. I wouldn't do that, but I would make myself apparent as a photographer so people could say right away, out of here, buddy. And it doesn't happen very often. Usually when I make myself vulnerable and people see that I respect their opportunity to tell me no, they're less likely to say no.
Photographer Skip Sheil speaking with KCAW earlier this week. Sheil will talk about the hydropolitics of the Israel-Palestine conflict on Sunday at Kettleson Memorial Library. His presentation is sponsored by the group Sitkins for Peace and Justice and begins at 7 p.m. Commercial crabbers will not have a season for red and blue king crab in Southeast again this year. The fishery was opened last year for the first time in 6 years. However, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game says red king crab stocks are now at their lowest levels in over 2 decades. Joe Bicknicki reports.
The state can open Southeast's red king crab season if the estimated amount of legal size male king crab tops a minimum threshold of 200,000 pounds. Fish and Game conducts an annual survey of crab stocks, and this year estimates that the available crab for harvest is not even 10% of that minimum, at 15,600 pounds. Joe Stratman, the department's regional shellfish project leader, notes a drop in the number of recruits, or crab maturing to a large enough size to be kept in a commercial fishery.
I think generally, you know, the current stock assessment survey showed much lower levels of pre-recruit and recruit catch per unit effort for all surveyed areas than was exhibited in the previous year's survey. This provided much smaller mature and legal biomass estimates.
The department estimates the region's overall biomass of mature male red king crab is under 1 million pounds and is down by more than a third from last year. Fish and Game surveys 9 bays and waterways in central and northern Southeast normally fished by the crab fleet and also uses historical catch data to come up with crab estimates. The department says their survey this year shows stock health is poor in 5 of the surveyed areas. The department and crab fleet are also in the third year of a collaborative effort to use a different method for estimating crab numbers. Last year, that collaborative study resulted in an adjustment upward for crab stocks in some of the surveyed areas and a large enough overall estimate to open the fishery. Even with the adjustment this year for 7 of the surveyed areas, the estimate remained too low for a fishery. Stratman says crab numbers have not improved since last year.
In the survey areas that were open in the last year to commercial and personal use fishing, there were reductions in the mature male biomass estimates. In survey areas that were closed to commercial and personal use fishing in 2011, mature male biomass estimates did not improve. They stayed about the same.
Last year's catch topped 176,000 pounds, landed by 54 permit holders. Averaging more than $10 a pound last year, that crab was worth $1.87 million at the docks. When it's open, the November fishery is an important economic boost for Southeast Fishing Fleet. Randy Lantine is fleet manager at Icicle Seafoods in Petersburg.
Well, I think we have a stock that's right on the edge of threshold each year, and it's important to keep an eye on it by doing all the surveys we do. And when we have an opportunity to utilize this crab, we need to take advantage of that, mainly because of the economic benefit it brings to the coastal communities in a time of year, November, when we don't have a lot going on and it's a real it's a boon for the economy locally.
Crabbers in the past have contested the state's crab stock survey and argue that crab are more plentiful than the department estimates. Fleet input has led to changes to the annual department survey, along with the collaborative effort to gauge crab numbers. Julianne Curry, the outgoing executive director of the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association, says the news is disappointing.
You know, judging by how well some of the surveys have been going, guys were definitely thinking that they were going to see a fishery this year. But if the science doesn't back it up, then the science doesn't back it up, and that's what we're going to have to accept for this year. Now, of course, the survey efforts are ongoing, and the vessel owners is a critical part of ensuring that those surveys continue to occur, and fishermen are doing a great job of coordinating with the department, and we've established a great working relationship, and we're very excited for what we can accomplish in the future, but it looks like this year it's just not in the cards.
The low crab estimates also mean some closed areas for personal use crabbing and reductions in bag limits for the areas that remain open. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
The Coast Guard has rescued four men yesterday whose 19-foot aluminum boat swamped in heavy seas as they were returning from a hunting trip northwest of Cordova. The men sent a distress call Thursday before abandoning their boat and taking their dinghy to shore. A Coast Guard helicopter located the men on a shoreline off Orca Inlet and hoisted them off the beach. They were taken to the Cordova Community Hospital for evaluation. And the National Weather Service says South Central Alaska residents may get a break today from heavy rain that has created high water problems from Seward to the Matsu Burrum. River forecasters said that most small rivers and creeks crested yesterday. Zone weather forecast today calls for mostly cloudy skies in Sitka and PA, areas of dense fog with visibility 1/4 mile or less at times this morning, highs around 60. Light winds becoming southeast to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. And tomorrow, cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 58. Southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. This is KCAW in Sitka.